doing hay. We'll try to finish some point in time. Okay, there are a lot of things here to do, but maybe we should first finish, then we'll come back to some, then we'll come back into some of the farshim. Okay, let's continue for now. Let's continue for now, and then we'll, like I said, we'll come back later and go through some parsha, because it's a very, very long mizmar. Let's start Pasuk Tezayin. Pasuk Tezayin is on page 486. Pasuk Tezayin says, Yashimavis Olemoi. Now, Yashimavis in our text is two different words, but if you look in the brackets, it's the way it's spelled is Ksiv, it's Kriv Ksiv, is Yashimais. And Yashimavis means set. The David is cursing. He's basically cursing his enemies. A pretty Pasuk Tezayin. Pasuk Tezayin, page 486, Mizmor Nun Hei, Pasuk Tezayin, Yashimavis Olemo, set. Set death upon him. Okay, look at the Mitzudos David. Yashimavis, Hashem Yichayiv Alehem Esamavis. Return to Leimar, Alach Yitayfel Vireyov. It is really amazing how David is going from Achitayfel, my best friend, my closest confidant, he's cursing him with death, nothing less than death. This person who was Enosh Kiyarki Alufi Umi Yudoi Asher Yachtav Namtik Soid Bidei Salukim Naluch Barogesh. Now David says he's a good for nothing, may Hashem bring upon him death. Yashi means to set. That's not your typical word which means to set. Really, the Mitzudos David says Inyan Choiv. Choiv, the Mitzudos Sion, Kamo Lo Yashi Oyev Boy, I don't know what that pasuk means, but in the Mitzudos David it says, Hashem Yichayev Aleihem Esmavs, Hashem should bring upon them the debt of death. They should be judged, and they shall be declared guilty. Pasuk, page 488, meaning the pasuk, Yerdu Sha'ol Chayim, look at this, he's like Mamish cursing him like Koirach, a Baal Machloikis. May he descend into the grave alive. Ki ro'os bim guram bikirbam, because there is evil bim guram bikirbam. Mitzudos David, there is evil in let's see, Mitzudos David Chayim. Look at the Mitzudos David right at the back of the previous page. Let me just see right over here. It says on the next page. One second. A little confused here. Okay, on the next page 488. Kiro Ois Bikirbam. Okay, Mitzudos David is Chayim. Pisaim Kishahim Biriyim. Loi Mitai Choli Laman Yakiru Hakol Shabbat Bigmol. This is an amazing insight. Okay, we talk about Korach. Korach was swallowed up alive. What does it mean alive? I mean, he's dead. Ultimately, he dies. So what it means over here is Chayim. Over here, the Mitzudos David is a very powerful insight. It's very much relevant to the sugya of Korach. It means pisoim suddenly, kishahim biriyim, when they're healthy. The least expected moment to die is when they die. Loi mitzuchayli, not due to sickness. Laman yakiru hakol sheba bigmul. What is the advantage when a Rasha dies suddenly? All of his followers, his supporters, observers will acknowledge that he's been punished because of his aveiros. Because a person gets sick and dies gradually, so people come along and they say, you know why he died? Because, you know, that was his time. It was Bashar. It wasn't meant for him to live longer than this.
The other example is Haman.
Haman, right? He was taken out to die in his mamish, in his prime. Mamish in the middle, in the prime of his life, and when he was at his height. He went mamish me igra rama all the way down to the death. Fine, next. Kiro ois ruim him lemisa pesaimis kiros bimim guram ulitosefes beyor amar bikirbam. The Mitzudos David says these two words over here really are redundant. They're really redundant. It means over here there is evil bim guram in their dwelling, and the bikirbam in their midst. Okay, two words which mean this pretty much the same thing, because there's evil people. Pasuk Yitzayin Ani El Elokim Ekra, I am Yitzayin, I call to Hashem, Hashem Yoshin, Hashem saves me. Pasuk Yitches Erevokim Yitzorayim Asicha Ve'emeh in the evening, in the morning, in the afternoon. Asich, I speak ve'emeh, and I moan v'yishma kali. When do we say these same expression? Erev, v'voke v'tzoharayim. In Moedim, we make mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the deals for us in the evening, in the morning, and in the afternoon, all three times. Each time of the day, it is interesting, has a very unique flavor. There's the morning, the evening, and the afternoon. It's very, very true. Everyone in their day, every single person in their daily activities, it's different. It's a whole different experience. Your frame of mind, your energy level, and your attitude in these three different times of the day. Erev, v'voker, v'tzoharoyim. Asicha, I speak, v'hemeh, I moan, v'yishma koli, mitzudah stava pasuk yitzayim. But pasuk, there is no mitzudah. It's pasuk yitzchas. Erev, v'voker, b'chol, shalosh atfilos, asaper, t'hatolois, v'hemeh, alehem. The mitzudah stones that refers to davening. David here says, I go and I daven to you, Hashem, I express my frustration during these three times of the day. Pasuk Yitesh, Padov v'shol nafshi, you redeem with peace my neshama, mikrov li, from those who wage war. Krov means war. Ki v'rabim choyu yimodi. This, we say this in davening. What do we say this? We say this pasuk in davening, so I don't remember where we say this. Okay, mitzvah stuff, what does this pasuk mean? The mitzvah stuff, it says, kipodim nafshama mi'olam podim nafshi l'hashivu l'shol me'hamelchama sabos. Again, this idea, according to the mitzvah, goes back to David's technique. When David finds himself in a difficult situation, he says, I've been here before. This is not the first time I've been in this situation. I've had this situation in the past. And just like back then in the old days, I survived. I use that as inspiration that I will survive this as well. Experience. Sorry?
It seems like his tone of voice changed.
He's vacillating. I'm vacillating. He's saying over here. Why? He's saying over here that I don't know. The sequence is hard. It's hard. It's a general problem in tone. It's very hard, very often, to go find the sequence of David's. Complaint, and then he goes back and he talks about himself. I don't know, but over here, Pasuk Yitesh says the part of Nafshi. Now he says ki v'rabim hayimadi. So look again the mitzvah. It's very important how we learn this. Padav v'shalom. It's in the past tense. David and Pasuk Yitesh coming to give me mechazek himself, at least according to the mitzvah. And the ultimate chizik a person can give himself is to say to himself, did this happen to me before? Did this ever happen to me before where I found myself in this situation? And the answer is yes, it did. So you say, just like this same thing happened to me 10 years ago and I survived, I'll survive this time as well. Person finds himself in a difficult financial situation. He finds himself with his children, shidduchim. Did I get through it in the past? So I'll get through it now. The proof is it was no better then and I survived. I'll get through it now as well. May oilam always, from time immemorial, I've had many enemies in the past, and I have survived. I'll survive these enemies as well. Even though in the past, when my enemies were I was outnumbered. My enemies had many more people than me. They had much larger number of people. I was few in number, yet I survived. So why should this be any different now? Next pasuk yuchaf, yishma kel v'yanim. May Hashem listen, may Hashem answer, v'yoshev kedem sela, and may Hashem restore kedem, the good old days. Sela asher ein chalifa islamoi v'lo yaru elokim. Okay, let's see the mitzudos. Pasuchaf. Mitzudos David, Pasuchaf, page 490. Yishma, kenata. Just like in the past, Hashem helped me, so to now, yishma kel cherpasi, v'yachnia es mechorfai, may Hashem humble those who insult me, v'yoshev kedem, Hashem. Okay, I made a mistake. Over here, the mitzudos David is teaching these words, v'yoshev kedem sela, as a description of Hashem. Hashem, Hayoshev Vashamayim, Ashabara Mizman Kodum, that he created back in the past, Hu Yachniyem Ad Ola Mehi, humble them forever. Asher al asher she'enem noistim libam she'yuchlufu v'yavru min olam. The people, they don't believe they're going to die. V'lo yaru me'elokim, they have no fear of God. David here introduces a new concept. Why do people sin? Why do they behave in an evil way? So we always say they have no yiras elokim. They don't believe in God. They don't fear God. They don't fear punishment. They don't think they're going to get caught. He says something else over here. They don't believe they're going to die. They think they're going to live forever. If you can convince a person, forget about religion. Take away from him religion. Take that away from them. You know, that's very obviously quite a thing. But he's adding a whole new thing here. They don't believe they're going to die. If you take a person that's not a religious person, and he's behaving in a very, very horrible way, causing a lot of people aggravation and pain, and you sit down with him, and you impress upon him the fact that he will not live forever, that the day will come when he will die. Will that change his attitude? Will that change his behavior of causing harm to other people? I don't know.
Drink and be married for tomorrow.
So you're saying it makes it even worse?
Like young people,
it makes it even worse? Maybe yeah. it makes it worse. The person, that's a personal attitude. Okay, I'm going to be. But to go cause other people, let's say when it comes to someone else, they don't think they're going to die. He says over here something very, very deep. They don't believe he's going to die. Again, look at the words of the Mitzvah stuff. It's a very interesting insight. You have to go talk to a big psychologist to explain this concept, if it really does make a difference. If David says it, it must be. David in this passage says two concepts. Number one is ve'ein chalifa slomai. They do not believe they're going to pass from this world. And then there's a vav. Ve'lo yoru'u elokim. They also don't fear God. Are these... Yachalifa, look at the mitzudas. Let's see more precise. Look at the Mitzvah David. Mitzvah David says, "V'yoyishev the pasachaf yishma kenata yishma keleschar pasiv yachnias michorfai." Listen to the insults and go and humble my enemies. V'yoyishev kedem Hashem, who is Hashem ayoyishev v'ashamayim asher bara mizman kodum. Hashem who lives in heaven, whose abode is in heaven, and heaven he has created from way back. Hu yachniyem ad elam, may he humble my enemies forever. Asher al, why do my enemies need to be eliminated? Asher she'enam noistim el libam, they do not apply to their hearts. She'yuchlufu, kerem chol she'yuchlufu means to pass chalifa.
I don't understand
how that word means. Okay, either do I.
Because if you skip the word in the Mitzvahs,
but he's saying that's the translation.
I'm trying to figure out how that
word.
an exchange.
To exchange. So what is an exchange? Exchange means you change locations. You move from here to there. It was slated for me to go to Modest, and now I'm shifting. I'm passing from this spot to this spot, and someone else taking my place. The bird is taking my place. A chalifa, there is a movement. You are going from one location, you're in the hot seat. You get out of the hot seat, you move, you pass from the hot seat to a cold seat. You move. I hear what you're saying.
I'm saying that they don't put it in their hearts that they will be exchanged.
Which he's saying... He's saying the word in this context, the Mitzvah stuff is saying it means to die. I hear what you say. Rabbi Chol is bothered with the precise etymology of the word. I accept. He's
maybe there's one thing dying, and then there's one thing exchanging. Meaning, you think you're on top, somebody else is going to come after you, and you're going to be exchanged for somebody who's going to be taking your place.
Okay, he's saying very good. When a person retires, so someone takes their place. So leaving, there's an exchange. You retire, there's going to be a job offering. someone's going to
find out who that exchange is. You go, they put in instead of me. I leave, and that's what they put in.
And they're paying him even more, right? They put this guy instead of me, and they're paying him double my salary. You go out of your mind.
So look at Ibn Ezra. He takes a shot at
him. Okay, Ibn Ezra. What did he say? Ibn Ezra. Yoshev Asher in Khalifas Sheyishalef Miz Mazalam Mitovra. Excellent. Okay, very, very good. Ramachal, very good. And hold him shot. It doesn't mean to die. It means that the mazel is gonna change from good to bad. Excellent. Okay, very, very interesting. So this, and this, by the way, is independent of Yira Shemayim. Velo Yaru Elokin, they did not fear Hashem. It's interesting because you brought up in a Haredi world, everything is Yira Shemayim. Everything is Torah and Yira Shemayim. What about all these people in the world? You have a whole world out there, a whole world of billions of people. There are 8 billion people out there in the world. The Jews are only about 15 million Jews, and there's a world of 8 billion people. Wow, they don't have the Torah. They don't have the Torah. They don't have this anything near the Yiras Shemayim, an appreciation of the Yiras Shemayim like Klal Yisrael. So how do they survive? How do they survive? How do they live in the world with morals, with values, when they don't have
made up religion and gods?
So I mean but if anything that's made up, it's not gonna we see that that doesn't mean anything. Obviously there has to be every single person is created but still malukim. A guy also has some inner sense of morals, of right and wrong, and Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, but nothing near Klal Yisrael. It seems they need a little help. And one of the things that helps them, at least to know, is you're not going to be here forever. No one lives forever. And, or according to Ibn Ezra, Shemuchel is pointing out, no one's mazel is always 100%. Just because you win the Super Bowl this year doesn't mean you're going to win it next year. Okay? Just because you win the World Series, just because you got a good, you got lucky and you picked a good horse to bet on, doesn't mean that the horse is going to win next time. A mazel, everyone can appreciate that a mazel in this world is very temporary. There are people out there that are in a very position of power and they abuse their power. And they don't appreciate that it's not kedai, because their matzav is not going to be forever, and when their mazel is not the way it used to be, there's going to be accountability. People who they have harmed and abused are going to come back to haunt them. I mean, this is the reality in the world, in every single dimension. Okay, United States, they're dealing with the slaves. Okay, can never live it down. Okay, there's no end to it. There's always a point where there's going to be din v'cheshbon, and that's to some degree what the Metzudas David is saying. It's a very interesting idea. All right, let's go further. Pasuk, we'll read the pasuk one more time. Pasuk Chav says Yishma. Let's read the pasuk one more time. Yishma Kel v'yaneim. David over here is being mispalat Hashem. May Hashem listen to him. V'yaneim. May Hashem answer. V'yoyishev kedem. Hashem. This is a description of Hashem. Now I would think, if not for the Mitzudos, that the word Sela is going on Hashem. But he doesn't say that to me. I would think that once he wants to say that the Yoshev Kedem is a description of Hashem, who lives in heaven, who he created at the time of my separations, may he go and defeat my enemies, who are arrogant, do not believe they'll ever die. They think they're going to live forever. And they're not going to see, they have no fear of Hashem. There are many people out there, so I would think the word Tzela should be modifying Hashem. Mm-hmm. That Hashem, who lives in heaven, that was created Kedem, and exists forever. But yet the Mitzvah stuff does not say that. He does not put the word Tzela on Hashem. If you look at the Mitzvah stuff again, he says, Yoshev Kedem, Hashem HaYoshev HaShemayim HaShabor Mizman Kadum, Hu Yachniyem Arilam. May he humble these people forever. He is defined that the subject of the word Sela is referring to his prayer. My prayer that I prayed in the past pasuk, the two pasukim back, going even further, I'm sorry, going all the way back to pasuk Tezayin, where he says, Yashimoves Olemoi. May Hashem be mechayiv these people death. Yesh. Can we really explain that word good? Yashim comes from the word yesh. Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahanchil Shai Olamos L'chol Tzad L'oy Hava Yesh Shai Olamos L'oy Hava Yesh. Yesh is substance. Hashem will give every tzaddik 310 worlds B'gematria Yud Shin. Shin is 300, Yud is 10, 310, which is Yesh. Yesh means substance. Substance. What's the significance, by the way? What's the significance? How many kings were there in Eretz Yisrael did Yoshua conquer?
31.
31 is the Mispar Katan of Shai. Eretz Yisrael is a Me'ain, is a microcosm of 310. There are three. Every tzaddik will receive Lahanchil Ohavai Yesh, the last Mishnah of Mishnayis, of Seder, of Shisha Seder Mishnah. Mesech Uksin. Hashem will bequeath every single tzaddik Shai Oilamois, 310 worlds. Eretz Yisrael was broken down into 31 sections. There were seven Canaanite kings, the seven kings of Canaan, and the seven nations of Canaan were broken down. I don't know how they were divided exactly, but into 31 cities. So how many did each, you have to, what was the ratio? How did it work? Which each nation of Canaan? Hachiti, Hamori, Haprizi, Hayavusi, Hagoshi. You have to go break it down into the different nations of Canaan, but they were all broken down from 7 into 31. And in Sefer Yehoshua, when Yeshua conquered Eretz Yisrael, there's a Shira where we enumerate the 31 kings of Canaan. Why are there exactly 31 kings? What, just a random number? There's nothing random in the Torah, because 31 is the Me'ain of the number 310. 310 is the Mispar Godol, the big number, and 31 just dropped the zero. Because Eretz Yisrael, what goes on in this world, is just a physical microcosm of the enormous blessing that exists in Olam Haba. 310, this world is, and it's 31. And that Shakai, Sha'omar, no, that's Shin, no, that's Shin, no, 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 that's
probably 310
drushes
on that,
let's see. 310 drushes on. My favorite drush is Lahanach Elohava Yesh. Yesh is Rosh Etevois Yiras Shomayim. Hashem will bequeath to his beloved Ohavav Yiras. If those who love Hashem, there are two different midas. There is the mid of Ahava, and there is the mid of Yira. And Yira, I mean, you can argue back which one is a higher madrega, to love Hashem or to fear Hashem. Well, there are many different types of Yira, but there is certainly a very exalted level of Yira Sarayim, which is even a higher madrega of Ahava. Those that love Hashem will merit Lahanch Elohe HaVayesh, to the mid, to merit the blessing of Yiras Shemayim, Yud Shem. Okay, we'll get back to that over here soon. We'll come back to this with the Rashi and Mefarshim soon about this pasuk. But in this pasuk that we started with today, today in pasuk Tezayin, David says, Yashi Moves Olemoy, may Hashem be mechayev, may Hashem make a yesh, may it be upon Achitofel and Doeg death. They deserve death. May it come upon them. And here, in this pasuk, when he's describing that, according to the Mitzvah Stav, the word Sela is going all the way back on that pasuk. May Hashem bring upon them the debt that they deserve forever. Which is interesting, because if you want to go learn that the Yoshev Kedem refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you would think that all three words together are a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is Yoshev Kedem Sela. But that's not what he says. Okay, so therefore the pasuk again, it means the pasuk on pasuk Chaf, page 409, the pasuk means Yishma kel v'yane, may Hashem listen to my prayer, and may Hashem listen and answer, and the answer should be Sela forever. They should be defeated forever. Who should listen to my prayer? The Yoshev Kedem, Hashem. Asher Einich, and what, now he goes on to describe why do these people behave in such a horrible way, because there are two problems that they have. Number one, these people don't think they're ever going to die. They think they're going to live forever. They really, it doesn't even enter into their mind this possibility that they could ever die. Doesn't. They think they're going to put into their brain some AI. They're going to merge with a machine, and they're going to live forever. That's a very big problem. When someone doesn't realize his mortality, he behaves in a horrible way. And then there's a second problem of v'lo yaru'u Elokim. The Mitzvah stuff that's very profound is telling us there are two different problems with people. A lack of Yirat Shamayim and a lack of realization that they will die. Pasuk Chaf, or according to the Ibn Ezra.
It's really those two are the same thing.
Are they?
Yeah, because it's about accountability. If you think you're never going to die, then there's nothing to be accountable for in the afterlife. So afterlife, you're never going to die.
All right. Okay, you're saying good is true, but it could be there's also, you see people in the world that have mamash, no, they, at least they don't exhibit any signs of Yiras Elokim. Okay, it's true, absolutely. You're right. All different types of people in this world. Same way no one looks alike, no one thinks alike. All different people. Okay, let's go further. Now we go to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Shalach Yodav Bishloimav Chilel Brisa. Now we are describing the sins of these wicked people. Number one, they go and they send their hands. Bishloimav, they go and they hurt Hashem's people that are complete by Hashem. They profane his covenant. Mitzudois David. Pasuk of Aleph. Shalach Yodof. Al Achitayvel Yomaki Hinek. Bi Shalach Yodai Asherani Aish Shloimo. The Chilel Habris Asher Korasmi. The Mitzudois is a novel translation of this Pasuk. He interprets the word Shloimov in reference, David is referring to himself. And he doesn't mean that he's Sholem to Hashem. What he appears to mean is, I'm your best friend. Why would you want to betray me? What do you gain out of it? It's nonsense. You went Shalach Yodav, you have damaged Bishloimov, a person who is at peace with you. I have nothing against you. I am your best friend. I would do anything for you, Achi Toifel. We went to yeshiva together. I'm always there for you. Why would you go and damage your relationship with me? You a chilel beriso, the covenant with me. This is not a religious pasuk. We're not over here referring to, if you wouldn't know better, you would say that the evil person, he harms the tzaddikim, who are the shleimim with Hashem, the yirei shamayim, their tzaddikim, the talmidei chachamim. That's not what the Mitzudas David says. It's not referring to the religious a flavor of a person that's a tzaddik. He's a sholem with Hashem. It's referring to David Achitofel. David says to Achitofel, we're best friends. It's as if that we have a covenant. We have a treaty between us that if one of us needs the other, we're in trouble, we'll be there for each other. Why would you want to go jeopardize your relationship with me? Because you think that Shaul, because you think that Avshalom is going to succeed, my own son? You want to score points with my son? What's going on over here? Next pasuk of base, cholku macha mo'ois piv ukrov liboy raku dvarav mishem vehema pis sichos. Complicated pasuk. Mitzvah stav. Pasuk of base, cholku divrei piv hema rakim machalokim yosef michema. Okay, let's take the words one more time. The word chema. What does chema mean? In modern Hebrew, chema means what? Butter. That's modern Hebrew. In Tanakh, chema means cream. Cream. The I guess milk when you prepare milk, it produces cream. Okay, I went to a whole write-up on this. Every time it says, this is one of the words, you know, Hebrew language, or the words that for some reason it's misunderstood. Chema in Tanakh is cream, not butter. It's a whole different thing. And he says over here, the Cholkuch, now their lips are smoother than cream. Okay, butter's not so smooth.
Butter wouldn't melt in his mouth.
Okay, it's smoother than the cream of his mouth. Mitzvah David, this is nothing more than an expression, as we mentioned in the beginning of this mizmor. This mizmor is the king of all of language. This mizmor, every single pasuk it brings out a new nuance of expression. And here he is describing a smooth talker. There are people out there who know how to talk and know how to mislead and know how to persuade people. You know who's a really good smooth talker? Robots. AI. AI. I saw the Google had a program called, I already forgot, they shut it down, it was too good. It was too scary. What was it called? I saw a video, a clip of unbelievable. All these tech giants are investing millions, big time money into developing artificial intelligence, and it's no joke. This stuff is serious stuff. It's been going on already for years. It's going on already for. I remember when I was in college, I took a course in AI. Already then, it was big stuff and how it works. 20 years later, you could imagine how advanced they are, and some of these robots, and what they are just beyond belief, mamish beyond belief, to the degree where the people are, they really view them as human beings and want to give them rights. I'll give you a simple example. They have robots today. That, you know, I'm sure you've seen these video clips where they're like dogs, where they have four legs, and they can walk around and they can do tasks. So they show people in the laboratory one of these robots doing some very difficult tasks. It can climb steps, it can pick up things, it can do construction, and they show the workers abusing them in order to deter them from achieving their goal. They give them a kick. And they push them, and they throw them off the top they're going up the scaffold. They push them off, or they just give them a kick. They go up the steps, and they give them a kick, and they go fall down the whole flight of steps, and they get up, and they just go right back to the top of the steps, and they show all these examples how these robots are able to you know. Adjust and prevail and overcome anyone that tries to stop them.
There's something emotional that they got.
On this clip, the person who was narrating this clip says, "Do you know how many complaints came in, email messages to the company? How dare our workers abuse these creatures when it's going up a flight of steps?
But the purpose of building them is to replace human workers. So, you know.
Could you imagine this? When our robot is going up a flight of steps, how dare a lab technician give it a shove and cause it to fall down a whole flight of steps? These are living creatures.
No,
could you add this is what the technician says. And then he said the biggest problem is they had one developer dealing with a robot AI. Get so attached to it, they had to basically put him on leave because he became so emotionally connected to his creature, to this, he really views it as a human being, and here's this, getting to the smooth talk. So they illustrated you ask these robots questions, and they answer you. And they answer you with such sophistication and language. And it's like you can ask them anything and they know how to smooth talk. Whatever they program, they answer you. whatever their agenda is. Chalokois. Chalokois. It's Cholku Macha Mo'ois Piv. Like they asked this robot, do you have feeling? And the way it answered the question, I don't think there's any person today can answer that question with such eloquence and expression. Not anymore. Today, go check this out. They asked, do you have feelings? Do you know what it means, love, hate? And the computer, it answered. And like he was saying, I think I do. And I understand. It was just on the spot, by the way. On the spot. When a person would try to formulate it in, you know, a response, it would take you a whole day, the average person, and then you would have to rewrite it and go through many drafts. And here, these computers are programmed with incredible artificial intelligence in order to speak and express themselves. I'm telling you, it is just mind-boggling how dangerous the world that we live in. Yeah, could. I'm sure could. I'm sure could. You think it's a joke? This is no joke. It's not a joke. What these things are capable of. It's not a joke. And when you read this pasuk, when you read a pasuk like this, it's scary. Cholku machamois piv ukrov liboy raku dvarim mishana vehema pisichois. You're describing a robot. Okay? You could appreciate this. If you tell me this is a robot, I would appreciate. But guess what? There are people out there who are just like this. And that means just like today, you know, today there's a dogma. Today you would think a person that's so sophisticated, you'd be fooled. A robot, it's easy to dismiss because it's not a living form. Look how the mitzvah of Taichus Pasuk. Look at Taichus. Pasuk of Yisrael says, Cholku divrei piv heim arakim v'chalokim yoyseh michema. The words that come forth from the mouth are smooth and they're soft, more than cream. Avo beliboy choyshev li lochem, but in their heart, they have an agenda. Raku, kofal dav b'milo shoynois, it's probably going to be tishnev heim p'sichois. What is in p'sichois? Ki bohem mirameh oisi, they're deceiving me. Li ois loy hachono lehotzeli, to prepare lehotzeli, to cause me pain. Look at the mitzudo sion. Kro means milchama. Pesichos means charavos. He translates it to mean a sword, a cheref. Okay, which is another word for war. Now let's go back and look at the pasuk. Cholku macha mo'ois piv. We have to read the words backwards. They're piv. The words that come out of their mouth, cholku, now we go to the first word, are smoother. Mecha ma'oitz den cream. Three words, and you have to read word 3, 1, 2. The words that come, and add the word, the words that come forth from their mouth are smoother than butter. But the truth is, they have an agenda. And their agenda is to go to war against me and to kill me and to take away from me everything that I have possessed. Ukirov liboy. The truth is, in their heart, they're planning and they're plotting to go to war, to steal, to cause death and harm and suffering. Now, we repeat the thing all over again. Raku divarov mishemen. Their words are smoother, softer than oil. It's so easy to be deceived. But what's really going on deep down inside of them? The hema, but they, fisichois, they're deadly. They're a sword. You touch it, you die. It's a deadly, deadly thing. I'm telling you, this pasuk, if you wouldn't know, is going on a robot. Is going on some of the artificial intelligence today. You don't believe me? Go out today online, type in artificial intelligence robots. And look on YouTube and look at some of these videos, and your mind will be blown away of how sophisticated technology has become today. And if you
robot is deceiving you, robot is going to give you straightforward, honest facts.
It's all how you the agenda. It's all the agenda. A robot has said that at least for the moment we can appreciate this is just a machine. And yet, wow, this thing can really deceive you.
Yeah. Sarah, they had a big article in the Times a couple of weeks ago in the science section about AI and the machines, if they could teach it to react, in other words, to think for itself. And they're already doing it, it's causing a lot of problems.
Sure.
Very scared.
It's very scary. Look, they took chat, one of the famous ones. One of the most famous, the one that's you do it online, the most famous one now. I even have it bookmarked on my thing over here because I like to ask it questions every so often. What is it called? Here it is. I call it, right, ChatGPT. Try that, ChatGPT. So you know that they gave it a bechina to get into to warden, to get
warden.
It passed flying colors. Okay, it passed all the exams.
You have to pass the interview.
Pass the interview also. Everything. And yet, if you have an agenda, and also then why am I telling this? Because I came across this article. This is really, really amazing. Is they've tested these most sophisticated robots, and they've come and are they woke? And they've shown they are. They are really, really, really bad. Mole apikorsis. Mole the gut. It is a product of society. If society, the people who program it, how these things are, how they work, how the sophistication of technology is apikorsis. So the robots are also apikorsis. They have an agenda. They're developed by people. And their data, their knowledge base is apikorsis. So this the most popular robot, artificial intelligence robot today is called ChatGPT. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. The real good stuff is not available for the public. But what's available for the public, you can go online, you can ask them any question you want, or you're shocked out of your mind how it answers you. And this baby stuff, ChatGPT, it is woke. If you'll ask it questions about religion, about the Ribbono Shel Olam, Yiras Elokim, it's gonna say some pretty bad stuff. Pretty bad stuff. So isn't that what it says here in this Pasuk HaBeis? To appreciate what it says, what? A computer?
And was questioning the computer to win or not, and finally he won. That was 20 years ago. Now, they measure the moves of the greatest grandmaster in chess compared to the moves the computer would use. So the computers now are so sophisticated, the intelligence is so sophisticated, it makes decisions better than people.
Yeah, absolutely. That's in the program. Look, the old thing, this is an old thing going back years ago about driverless cars. Driverless cars. Let's Rachman Litzlan. There's a person in a situation, where there's going to be a collision, and the computer comes to the realization that there's going to be a collision in a couple of seconds, in 5-10 seconds, and it looks at all of its options. Should it turn to the left, to the right, do this, that, and it concludes there is no way to avoid loss of life. If it goes this way, someone's going to die. It goes that way, someone's going to die. There's nothing. So whatever is going to happen now, somebody is going to die. The only question is, who should die? Who to who? So the person who's programming the computer is giving it rules. The person who's programming the computer is basically making life and death decisions. When you're giving the computer, you're programming the algorithm of how to react in a given situation. Again, there's a situation. So if there was a human being, I don't know what to say. So human being.
Again, they do the same thing, but they have there was a whole book on brain games, and they asked about this. You have to swerve this way. Something is happening, and then what they throw into the thing is, even though you might save 17 people here and only one person will die here. What about if that one person is a close relative?
Exactly. You don't know how a person's mind works. There is a certain
person that you're going to kill to save 17 is your mother or your wife.
And also you're making these split decisions, and then you want to talk religion. Where does the Ribbono Shel Olam enter into the picture? Because we all know that at a certain times when a person is influenced, there's a certain Siyat D'Shemaya. There's a certain Ritzoyin Hashem. Okay, there is such a thing. I don't know how this works. When a person, you don't know, no one knows anything, no one knows anything. But here, where human beings are programming, you know, you got to sit down with Rabbanim. What do? It becomes a very theoretical thing. You make an algorithm in your computer. Here's the situation. How should, it's going to happen automatically. It's a driverless car. How should the psak be? These are very dangerous things. But this pasuk to me, after reading yesterday, when I saw this clip, and then they talk about how the AI, the sophistication is beyond belief, and then they talk about that they're woke. The AI robots today are woke with molev godosh apikorsis. Look at this pasuk. This pasuk says, Cholku machamos piv. You go and you look at this chat GPT, you ask it a question, it answers you the question with eloquence, with expression, perfect grammar, instantly, and on a level that you can understand. Like no, you know, it'll adjust to your level, your language, whatever you want. But if it's been programmed to be woke, has an agenda, it's going to influence you, ukirov. Ukirov Liboy. The inside of Ukirov Liboy, inside of its heart, meaning inside, it's going to war against your values and your belief. It's trying to change you, to take you away from Yiras Elokim. Raku Devarav Mishemen. Wow, he asked it a question. Unbelievable. It provides insight, understanding, knowledge. It's softer than oil, but you got to watch out. V'hema, what's really deep down inside is pisichais, is a sword. It's deadly. It's deadly. Now, David said this about Achitofel. Achitofel, you ask him a question, mosuk midvash. He gives you an answer. He sounds so good. It's so delicious. His words are smoother than butter, softer than oil. But Achitofel, David says, I fell for it. Asha yachtav namtik soid. Veveselikim nahalich biragesh. I fell for him. And look what he does to me now. He influences my own son. He's guiding and influencing my own child to murder me. How do you explain that? Okay, so if you don't have an example of this today in a human being, which anyway there are plenty of people like this anyway today that can really swindle you, but certainly today with robotics, hey, it's not a human being, it's just a robot. Don't get emotionally carried away by AI. Next pasuk is Hashlech. I skipped. I'm sorry. Oh, we have one page. Yish, yeah. Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha. One of my favorite psukim. Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha. Cast upon Hashem your bundle, your burden. V'hu yichalkilecha. He will sustain you. Lo yitein le'olam mot latzadik. Hashem will never allow. Mot means Hashem will never allow. You have to read it backwards. Lo yitein latzadik. Mot le'olam. You always have to read the words out of order to make them simple. Lo yitein latzadik mot le'olam. Hashem will never allow the tzadik to fall to forever. Everyone knows the mashal. The mashal is a guy. There's a person on the road, and he has a big heavy suitcase. He's carrying the suitcase, and then he flags down a horse and wagon. Where are you going? You going somewhere? Come, I'll take you. So he gets onto the wagon and he holds in his hand his suitcase. So the balabas says, why are you holding the suitcase? So he says, it's enough of a chesed that you want to carry me. You also, should I burden your animals? Burden your animals or should you more gasoline for the engine to carry my peckle? My peckle? What? You know this before? It's a famous marshal. So the guy says, you shite. The wagon, the same way the wagon is carrying you, It's carrying, you're holding in your hand the suitcase, it's carrying the suitcase. So you might as well put the suitcase down. What do you have to burden yourself? You're going to hold the suitcase the whole time. You go onto the train, right? You go to the subway. It's enough that the subway is carrying me. I have to, it also has to carry my suitcase. Put the suitcase down. You don't have to carry the suitcase. The subway is carrying everything.
But you got to pay for the seat.
So it's the Zelbezach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he carries you the same way the Ribbono Shel Olam carries you. He carries your burdens. A person as daigis, parnasa. Is Hashem carrying? Did Hashem wake you up this morning? Did Hashem wake you up? A person wakes up in the morning. I have a lot of daigis. A lot of problems. A lot of problems. All different problems all over the place. Did Hashem wake you up in the morning? Is he carrying you? The same way he's carrying you, he's carrying all of your daigis, all of your problems. Memela, take all your problems, your yehovcha, all of your burdens, put them down. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Deal with them in a responsible way. Don't take them too seriously. The same way Hashem carries you, he will carry hashlech al Hashem yehovcha. It's an incredible thing. Someone showed me this week, Amori Dikvar, Eloi Tirtzach. I don't know who says. I forgot who says. I have to go look it up. He says maybe. I don't think he says maybe the Archaim. I don't think it's Archaim. I think it's the Chassidish Rebbe. He says lo tirtzach is daigus. A person. Everyone knows that if a person embarrasses someone, if you mevaze someone berabim, so you chayif abizrayu the shvichas tamim. Lo tirtzach. Don't murder. If you mevaze a person berabim, so you cause him to turn white. It turned to him white. Good. And then his blood comes back. White and red, you know, there's the change in white and red. You've caused his blood to spill. You've shocked him. He was white and then he becomes red. A few seconds later, it's like, it's abizrayu deshvichas damim. By being mevaze a person berabim, it's abizrayu, it's a me'ain of murder. To humiliate the person. If a person, now the same way that it's forbidden to murder someone else, it's forbidden to murder yourself. You're not going to kill yourself either. If a person has daigos and he allows his problems, his worries, to affect his functionality, he is guilty of abizrayu deshvichas damim. If you worry about something too much to the point where you cannot function in a normal way, you've killed yourself. I can't function. I can't go about my life and do my daily activities because there are things that burden me that do not let me just weigh me down. I'm not telling you it's easy. What?
This just happened this week with that 14-year-old girl.
What happened?
Oh, well, the three girls in the school beat her up.
Yeah.
Videoed the whole thing. Put her all over the internet and the shame and embarrassment. She killed herself.
Terrible. Abizrayu deshvichas damim. Hashlech al Hashem Yehovecha. It's easier, obviously. Easier said than done. Easier said than the person has daigus. Not so easy. But hashlech, at least theoretically, hashlech al Hashem Yehovecha. Cast upon Hashem your bundle. V'hu yichalkil lecha. He will sustain you. Lo yitain lo olam mot la tzadik. Mitzudis the pasuk of Gimel. Pasuk says here on page 493. Hashach Amar David l'nafshay. David is speaking to himself. Hashlech ma so'acho al Hashem. Throw, cast your burden al Hashem. V'chein yia v'chein. Yeah, ki hu yispol ma so'acha. He will carry your burden. Ritzen lemar betach alav shehu yokel ma so'acha. He will make it light me'olecha. V'chein yeah ki lo le'olam yazayv es ha-tzadik. Hashem will never abandon the tzadik liyos noite to falter. Okay, pasuk next pasuk. V'ata elokim toridem lever shachas. Another very famous pasuk. It's always a refreshing when we learn the famous pasuk. You Hashem will bring them down, Leve'er Shachas, to the pit of death. Anshei damim u'mirma, people of deceit, of blood and deceit, murderers and deceit, lo yechetsu yimehem, they should not live out half of their life. Va'ani, but I, in contrast, eftach boch hafeit in you Hashem, mitzudos David, toridem es achitevo v'reyov, mitzudos is going back to the Peshuta Shel Mikra, referring to the context of this pasuk, is cursing here achi toifel and doyeg. They bring them down. Kihem anshei damim. They are murderers. They are murderers. L'chein lo yagiu l'chyois chatsi yimehem hakitzuvim lohem. They should not live half the days that were meant for them to live. But I, v'ani eftach boch, linotzel miyodam, to be speared from their hands. And now we have concluded the mizmar. Let's go back. Yeah. Why?
Give me a review.
Conversation of David. I mean, you sort of were taught, don't curse people.
You have to realize, you have to realize there's evil in this world. I fully understand what you're saying, is that we're taught very much as mimavriel midoisav, don't curse anyone, and leave mishpat to Hashem, and we're not to judge anyone, bidan lekaf schus, and just avoid problems, and don't be confrontational. We're in galus. We live with this mentality. Absolutely, 100%, 100%. However, if you've ever met an evil person, most people we know, Baruch Hashem, 99% of people that we've met, even amongst us, are good people. And when they're nasty to us, you know, they had a bad day. When they're nasty, it's because they're suffering in life. They have tzaras. You know, you don't know. You know, no one knows what's going by doing by other people. No one knows. You don't know what's doing people. Rachman l'Islam, what they go through, you can't even begin to imagine. So that's why Mark, what you're saying is 100% true. But every once in a while, you come across people who are just evil. There is in this world a koyach of evil. You can't forget that. There is out there in this world a koyach of ra, and many people never came in contact. You know, it's an amazing thing. There are people out there who never ever came in contact with this firsthand. And they're always like, oh, everyone is good. Okay, you know, people have typhus, they have money and COVID. Right, yeah, kavod, mamon, taiva, but you know, you give a person enough money, they'll be good. It's true, and that's true for probably we come in contact with 99%. But there are people out there that are just rotten to the core, and they have no rachmanis, and they will devour you when they have an opportunity.
How I communicate?
There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do about it.
If I say to you, that would be already
emotional. Not necessarily. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. If a person is a criminal, you talk about people today who are abusers. Today it's a very big thing. A person, Rahman al-Islam, who has committed a crime, and now the question is to protect, you know of a teacher, or you know of a person that deals with children that should not be in this job, and you have to protect other people. Not lashon hara. You got to protect other people.
How many people even in this community already convicted, say, in the prison? Do you know the names of them?
Yeshishi.
It's a big problem. I don't have any solutions. Look, they're all different types of prison. They're all different types of crimes. You can't generalize.
Here in the Mizmar, he even writes what to do with it. Kill him. I mean.
You're right. It's extremely, extremely difficult. There are all different types of people. There are all different types of situations. There is a principle called teshuvah. When, where, how, who? I don't know. You're right. I don't know what to tell you. There are all different types of situations. And many of them, you got to lock these people up, throw away the key.
That's part of who we are to our world.
And you can't be naive and let them live to see another day. But there are unique situations. I don't know the statistics, where people make mistakes. They make mistakes, and there's something called teshuva. I'm not a professional. I'm not a rabbi. I'm not a professional. But theoretically, there is a principle of doing teshuva. There is a principle. Where, when, how, who? You're talking to the wrong guy. On the other hand, there are people out there that obviously you're saying is right. These people should not be walking around in this society. They should not. The people, just because they're rich, people should go and greet them, and they shouldn't be permitted to live amongst us. I don't know what to tell you. You're 100% right.
I think the problem with Akitoku was that he was a very great person. That's the reason why.
David said that. That's what we learned in the Rashi. Rashi says, it never happened to me that someone insulted me and I let them live. But you, Achitofel, you're very complicated. I don't know what to do with you. I don't know. That's what Rashi learned. If someone insults the Melech, I kill them. That's the way it goes. But Achitofel, I don't know what to do with you. You're a very well-respected, holy person. That's how Rashi learned the Pshat in the Pasuk. I told this to you many, many times. It made a very big Roshim on me. And many people in our community, you know, in the Haredi world, they make two major mistakes in life. Two major, major mistakes. Number one, you brainwash the child that Gedolei Yisrael are perfect. When you go to kindergarten, they take you to the Gadol. He's a Malach Elokim, and they mamish brainwash children. If you go to a good, healthy yeshivish school, you know, a strong community, they do this, and it's a very, I think it's very good. They brainwash you that the Gadol Hadar is a tzaddik, he's a malach, has no nisyonos, it's perfect, never ever his life did an avera, and is far superior than you and everyone in every single way possible. He's everything. Okay, then what happens? What happens is you get older and you realize, hey, he's no tzaddikal. Far from it. Far from it. There are many things that you can do a lot better than him in religion and certainly in other things. Why is he then the Gadol Hadar? Because he has milus. But he's no tzaddikal. So that's mistake number one. Mistake number one is you thought, you were brainwashed that he's perfect. That was a mistake. He's not perfect. That's mistake number one. Okay, that everyone at some point in time comes to that realization. Some people very early in life, and some people when they're 16 years old. Okay, everyone eventually realizes mistake number one, but not everyone realizes the mistake number two. And that is, okay, he's not perfect. He's not a tzaddik. He's far from a tzaddik. So because he's not what I thought he was, my mistake number two is, he's a good for nothing. He's a zero. He's a total zero. I thought he was the Gadol Hadar, and now I realize, So now in my eyes, not only is he not the Gadol Hadar, he's zero. That's a mistake. He's not a zero. It's taka mistake that you thought he was the Gadol Hadar. But he's still the Gadol Hadar. If the Olam accepts him as the Gadol Hadar, obviously, the maila that he has a midah, an attribute that really stands out, and that is why he has been put in this position where people appreciate him. So just because you were fooled into thinking that he was perfect, he was a malach elokim tzivakos, and now you realize that you were taught wrong. They deliberately taught you sheker. He's not perfect. He's no malach. He has major, major deficiencies. Even some areas, he may be even below average. But don't make mistake number two and say, since he has this deficiency, he's a piece of garbage. He's not. He's still the Gadol Hadar. Because obviously, if Klal Yisrael has accepted him as being a very great person, there's something there. No, he's not perfect. Everyone knows that. Mistake number two is, when you realize that you've been fooled, the disappointment and the frustration is you make mincemeat out of him. You rip him to shreds. You slice and dice him. You put him into a shredder. That is a terrible, terrible. Even though he made mistakes, even though he's not perfect, he is still the Godot. Now, obviously, we're not talking about people that have committed crimes, okay? We're not talking about, obviously, someone that committed a crime. No, we're not talking. We're talking about over here, you know, just not being perfect. So, Mark, you're right. David, I think he comes out, David, one of the milestones of David, why he's so intriguing, is he's not like us. Most of us are willing to basically not to put up a fight. Or if you want to put up a fight, it comes to an end. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it to fight to the bitter, bitter end. David is so intriguing is because David fights to the bitter end. When David sees a problem, he doesn't let go. He doesn't let go. Achitofel, the curses that David said about his enemies are off the charts. Most of us don't go that far. We fume, we say nasty things, and then we just, okay, leave me alone, goodbye, I don't want to do with you, you never talk to them, you never call them, you take them out of your contacts, you block them, you're done with them, finished. No. David doesn't delete them from his contacts. David goes after them until he eliminates them, to the very, very end. He doesn't let go. You ever see people with OCD? I'm not talking about OCD, the simple type. They wash their hands, you know, Rahman, I'm talking about people, certain personality, they do not let go of something. They will not let go of an issue. Ad ridita. David has that. And that's what makes David great. Achitofel, you betrayed me. I thought you were my best friend. This is an evil that cannot exist in Klal Yisrael. And I have to eliminate it and let the whole world know that such a type of behavior and conduct is not tolerated, a ki huzeh. Mark, there is in this world real evil. There really is. And you gotta really watch out for it. You gotta watch out and you see it. It's not just enough, okay, stand back. It has to be eliminated. And who is the evil? Amalek. Amalek, notorious Amalek has to be thoroughly, thoroughly eliminated. Ad ridita, zochor eis, asher oslach Amalek, coming up three weeks. Loi tishkach, v'hoya, there's no rachmanis when it comes to the real evil. Men, women, children, animals, no rachmanis. That's why David's the melech. The mitzvah of mechias Amalek is a mitzvah on the melech. And David exhibited this midah of being roy to be the melech over and over again, because the midah of David to wipe out Amalek is necessary. Here, Achitofel, Doeg, David, the average person would say, just leave me alone. You betrayed me. Have a nice day. No, David, I'm not going to let go. All these expressions, Shalach Yodeh B'Shloimov, Chidol B'Risoy, the words are smooth as butter, but he calls them what they are. He calls them a terrorist. Liboy, ukrov liboy, vehemov psichos. He curses them. Toridem lever shachas anshei damim umimra lo yechetsu yimeyem. This midah is the midah of a melech, because a melech needs this midah to eradicate a molek. And it is necessary. It's not a joke. Of course.
He's not doing it. He's saying, do me a favor.
Most people don't even do that.
Kill them out and let me live.
It's a very serious thing to make a klala. Chazal say, if you make a klala and the person doesn't really deserve the klala, it can boomerang. It comes upon the person himself. And David, indeed, Chazal say, he did go too far with Yoav. Chazal said, all the curses that David cursed Yoav boomeranged and came upon himself and his descendants. It doesn't say that about Yoav. It doesn't say that about Achitofel, to the best of my knowledge. It doesn't say that about Doeg. David here curses with the biggest klalas, Achitofel and Doeg, and there are many other instances where he curses a whole cast of characters. And Chazal, not to the best of my knowledge, don't make any mention that David did anything wrong by going to the extreme of eradicating these people from this world. The only one that Chazal criticized him for is Yoav. Yoav, he went too far. But no one else. Obviously, they deserve it. They deserve it. Let them get what they deserve. People always will tell you that some of the biggest mistakes they made in life is they did not eradicate evil. They did not. I know someone, I have a friend who's in business, had a lot of Agmas Nefesh, tremendous Agmas Nefesh. He was in a very, very high position in his company, making big decisions, and he had there some Meshugoyim, people that are not, evil people, and he gave them the benefit of the doubt. And it was good to them, and he thought he can smooth over, some of the issues and just be nice to them, go out, have a beer with them. And then the end was they all rose up against him and they caused him enormous Agmas Nefesh. And had he done to them what other people would have done when he was in the position of authority, basically eliminated them, not in a respectful way, because they've already exhibited signs of who they really are. They've shown all the telltale signs of what kind of people they are and what they're capable of doing. And had he done what would have been the responsible thing to do to eliminate them, again, in a respectful way, he wouldn't have had, al derech hateva, the tzaris that he has. And because, they're good, everything was going to be good, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt and we'll ease things over. They did this, the proof is in the pudding. Look what they did. Look what they did. What, did they apologize? They have charata? No. You think you just want to, people are very good natured, we'll work things out. Yeah. A year later, when they had an opportunity, boy, did they stab in the back. So evil is evil. And David HaMelech, very important, identifies evil and pursues it and eliminates it. And that is a very important lesson in Klal Yisrael.
That was Shaul's mistake.
And we have a tendency, because we're very meek and we're in Golis and we suffer so much, and there's really most of the time, 99.9% of the time, anyway, we nothing we can do about it. So that's it. That's the way we live. That's how I live. That's how everyone I know lives like that. But you learn David. It's a wake-up call is, there's evil. You let evil perpetuate. It's going to come back to haunt you. Look at America. America used to be such a beautiful country. Okay? It still is in many ways, but there are a few Mishugayim, what they can do. I walk down the street. You see, I was walking down the street. I saw this tree. It's a gorgeous tree. This like massive, massive tree. It's like unbelievable. It must be at least 100 years old. And I think they even made they put like a tag on it. No one's allowed to touch it. It's like in perfect condition. It's just magnificent. Could you imagine someone coming along and taking an axe in broad daylight and just destroying the tree? You gotta be mamish out of your mind. So that's what these people do. You have a country where people have traditions, a family, religion, morals, of normal things in society, and a few mishugayim come along and they just chop down hundreds of years of tradition, of values, just eradicate it in a whim like that. Out of your mind, you let a few thorns, a little evil, let them do whatever they want, be good to them, you don't nip it in the bud. What does the pasuk say? Look at the palate, we're going in Eretz Yisrael. We're going on over here. So what happened over here on Friday? It's not to be. I know the person over there, mom over here, and someone over here is. I go visit someone who's very, very sick in this neighborhood. Deathly, very, very sick person. So I walk in there. How are you doing today? So the person, the wife says to me, it's not a good day today. You heard about the ramming attack? It's my grandnephew. So I hear firsthand. This person. No, the big one. This person already has on their hand tsaris. No one's makan. What?
He's a
What?
He has a 13-year-old brother who has to do chalitza. He's married 2 months.
That's right. 5 months. So she even shows me the wedding pictures. She shows me the mitzvotans. Who has on their phone the mitzvotans of this guy? She has, because it's her mishpacha. Right here, when I walk in, someone now in Flappish. Okay, we're not over here. Mamish, it's her fit mamish or mishpacha. And she already is dealing with tzaros, so you can't even imagine what she's dealing with. And she shows me, like you let these people, you let these people, Ra Israel, don't ever underestimate the koyach of Ra. We tend to be good people, very good natured people. You know, this. It's very dangerous. All right.
My wife refused to read. She was given a book for the second graders. She, she suffered
woke
a little bit. And they gave her a book. And one of the books was titled, My Daddy is a Drag Queen. And this is, to make it more mainstream, and she has to talk about all these things she's supposed to talk to the kids. In the first and second grade, daddy's a drag queen. And things like that to make it seem okay.
Yeah.